Hello and welcome to Q&A Quest episode 435 something. I'm your host, Disney Dad, Mike Apps, aka Wheels, and with me as always.
Noted guide in game, David McBurney, Fanboy Master.
Slightly soggy in Japan, Gaiji Minokatari, Michael Baker, here. Okay.
And this is Smoke and Joe Gamer. It was my job to look up the episode number and I failed, so sorry.
How could you let us all down?
I was put on the spot. Put on the spot at the last minute, and I'm trying to play Mina the Hollower as we chat.
How could you fail to do what all of us failed to do at the same time?
I don't know, man.
Hey, I did not fail because I did not try.
I couldn't do
that. Wait a minute. Is that how that works?
It can.
It's not really a fail if you don't put an attempt in.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Kids, you tried your best and you failed. The lesson is never try.
We're all like,
this is probably going to be a short episode.
Not functional. I was in the car for about 20 hours yesterday, so I'm
just regular tired.
I'm the, and also about 3.5 hours this morning too. So I'm like, someone else talk actually.
I nominate Joe.
Okay. Well, what would you like to chat about?
Star Fox? Star Fox is fun.
Yes! Okay, so I had pre-ordered Star Fox and Amazon had told me, oh, you'll get it Monday, meaning today. And I was like, alright, it is what it is. And then it arrived on Thursday. So,
I love when that happens.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. The other stuff I ordered for Prime Day showed up a day late, but what are you going to do? I got a new pair of headphones and also a new MIDI controller that I can use with GarageBand and whatnot. But Star Fox is great. So it is a remake of the N64 game, Star Fox 64. Level design is like 99% similar, but they've updated the graphics and they look gorgeous. As for minor changes to art design, I'm okay with it. Like the character models are different. That's a matter of personal preference. But they expanded the story more. So when you have like the option to like pick two different levels, they'll actually explain the significance of each location and why you might want to go there, and then you decide from there. So I like that they expanded the story a little bit, just give you some more context for like, why the fuck are we going to the sun? It's like, well, now you know why. But I mean, all your favorite levels are still there. And on my first try, I remembered how to do I remembered how to unlock some of the levels, and I ended up doing the harder path in Venom and defeated Andross's true form. So the dialogue has been changed in many instances, but when you blow off Andross's face and he just becomes the brain in the eyes, Fox says, oh, this isn't the face off I was expecting. There's still some nice puns and dad jokes in there. Believe me, it's great. And now, once you clear a level, now there's a challenge mode, so you can play individual levels and it'll say, you know, beat it in under 3 minutes or get X number of hits. You can still get medals. So I'm working on, like, there's a couple levels I didn't play yet, and I'm working on getting the medals for getting enough hits. And then I guess there's some multiplayer modes I'm probably not going to end up doing, but I've played through it twice now, and I think you need to play through at least 3 or 4 times to really get all the stages. And again, if you just want to play one stage for specific challenges or for practice, then you can just do that by itself as well, which is a nice thing that I don't think you could do in the original. So I'm very happy with it.
Very nice. It's a very nice looking game.
Yes,
I think
yes.
That like most of what it seems to trade on is like visual update, which in most cases I would probably be a little pissed about, but like Fox is so much tied to its aesthetic, and this grounds the aesthetic a lot more. Like there are two major like visual influences I would call out for Star Fox as a concept. You get like pulp sci-fi, like fucking Star Wars, obviously.
Buck Rogers.
Yeah, that kind of thing. You also get like Super Mario Nation, like the works of, why am I blanking on its name? Jerry something or other. The actual name. So Super Mario Nation was like a puppeting style by Jerry Anderson. The works of which were reasonably popular in Japan at one time. Things like Thunderbirds and Scarlet, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, Thunderbirds is popular enough that I know one pachinko parlor chain that still uses a parody version of Thunderbirds in its advertising.
Yeah, and like that aesthetic, if you sort of take it, like, remember when they announced Star Fox Zero on the Wii U and everyone turned into like Fox Puppet? That's why they're puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a very like specific old pulp sci-fi aesthetic that this is. Like, this ends up kind of mixing elements of both of those, although it's definitely not full Super Mario Nation look. But you kind of get better idea of what aesthetics it's calling back to, which I think is nice. And in general, like, some of that comes from just the tone. Like, as silly as the old Jerry Anderson shows could look, they generally took themselves pretty seriously. They were not, like, they... As absurd as their concept could look and feel, they did not treat themselves like Saturday morning cartoon. So the tendency to a more reserved tone ends up remarrying it to some of those older aesthetic concepts.
Hmm.
It's very pretty. I mean, like, if you have something you can play it on, you can also play the original, so I'm not super upset at the fact that this is, you know, like,
yeah,
they made a new game, because it's like, well, like, the old one didn't go anywhere. This is, in fact, if you can play it, you can play the old one.
Yeah, there are still several ways to play the original game, whether 3DS or Switch Online, right? So
yeah, you can play it on Switch Online, which is really what I was getting at. Like, there is no way to own this piece of hardware without owning a way to play the original. If I had my druthers, I would have said they should have, like, at least added a planet or two to give it a bit more to it. This was not developed internally at Nintendo, which is probably part of why they were not super ambitious with it. Get what company made.
Yeah, it was a company I wasn't familiar with. I don't know what else they've worked on. And I can't
They made it on their own internal engine. This feels like it might be essentially a tryout to see if they get to make their own Star Fox game. Because, okay, it was made by Velen Studio. Nintendo have worked with before. They made Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. That was the AR Mario Kart game.
Okay.
And they're a studio out of... Yeah, they're a studio out of New York. They're made up of ex Vicarious Vision people.
Oh.
So very, very, very technically talented, very, very good designers. This feels like it might be a way to sort of get them on board, get them into the pipeline, and see if the working relationship is fruitful enough to see if maybe they should be making a new Star Wars game.
Is Vicarious Vision still around, or were they the ones that got folded into Blizzard?
They technically still exist as a label, but they were folded. They do assisted work. That's why they didn't make Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 plus 4. Mm. Their reward for doing well on Tony Hawk 1 plus 2 was that they were turned into a port studio to try to get, like, the dysfunctional AAA heads of Activision to get their important games out.
Great.
Yeah. So what I was gonna say was that you know, we got Star Fox Zero on Wii U. It totally bombed. So it's not surprising that they would say, hey, let's just do a remake that's safer, you know, the remake.
The thing is, Zero is also a remake.
Oh.
Like, no one played it, but it's also just, like, kind of, like, because Star Fox 64 is a remake of Star Fox 1 in essentially all intents and purposes, and Star Fox Zero is kind of a remake of Star Fox 1 as well.
Oh, okay. But, well, they tried something new and different. So now it's like, we'll just do like a remaster remake thing. And I'm hoping that, yes, this will be a springboard to do additional entries with this graphics engine. And other thing I'm going to say is Nintendo did something I thought was impossible. They made me like Slippy. I don't know how that happened. But
now they just Slippy, now they just need to bring back his uncle with the horrible name Grippy.
Oh, God.
No.
From Star Fox Guard. No one even remembers that happened.
I actually saw that. I stopped at the Lumen Run Games retail store on the way to and from Orlando. And they have a used game section. And sticking out like a sore thumb when I went there the second time was a copy of Star Fox Guard. And I almost...
That's extremely funny because for a while that was only sold as part of Star Fox Zero. You got a copy of Star Fox Zero, you got Star Fox Guard with it, and it's a weird box because it's like eggshell white for some reason. Yeah.
And I almost grabbed it because in my brain I thought it was Star Fox Zero because I had been driving for like 12 hours. No, not 12 hours, but a long time. And then when I realized it wasn't, I was like, oh, I don't want you.
But yeah, Star Fox Zero is like an interesting idea that doesn't really work. See why they went back to basics. And yeah, like I suspect that this is Nintendo sort of. How fruitfully can they work with this New York studio? And
yeah,
you know, if it works, maybe they turn into a retro or a next level game.
Yeah,
there are very fruitful partnerships they've had.
Yeah, I think this is a really good way to just kind of attack this franchise from two ways, I guess. Like, provide a fresh, really good looking game for people new to the franchise who just watched Mario Galaxy, and also remake a beloved game.
Yes.
That will bring in the old fans.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, you know, a lot of things you'll get, like, I've seen multiple, like, criticisms of they're just strip mining millennial nostalgia, and, like, there's an element of that, but this is as much just put your best foot forward for your new audience. What's the best game in the series? Consensus, without question, 64.
Yeah, I mean, right. I didn't really like the game at the time, and I am absolutely loving the remake.
Yeah, it's the best game in the series. It's one of the best rail shooters that was ever made.
Yeah.
There's every reason to just, like, this is the game you onboard people with because it's always been that good, and there's no way to market, hey, you can play Star Fox 64, the Nintendo 64 game on your Nintendo Switch. And it's like, yeah, you sure can. But there's no way to market.
No.
Well, now now would be a good time to get that Panzer Dragoon Saga. Panzer Dragoon 2 remake out.
Yeah, that's on its
Panzer
way,
Dragoon's
isn't it?
That has been legally described as on its way for 4 years now. I don't know if it's coming.
Okay.
It's also being made by Forever Entertainment, who has not wrapped themselves in glory. So don't ask how much AI seems to have found its way into the Front Mission 3 remake. So don't get your hopes up too much on that. Hey, Sega, how about you get some a talented studio like Velen to produce a Panzer Dragoon Saga remake? Also, since that last since Panzer Dragoon Forever Entertainment has produced two other Sega remakes that are also extraordinarily bad in House of the Dead 1 and 2.
Okay.
So yeah, don't get too excited about Panzer Dragoon.
So I wanted to also briefly say that I did get Mario Galaxy movie on 4K Blu-ray. I didn't get to see it in the theaters, but I loved it.
Very pretty film.
And Yeah, I think it's a cool movie. I knew most of the references. I love how the Mario 2 bosses are in charge of like a casino and they're like gangsters now. That was great. And I just recently watched Twisters again. So when I found out Star Fox was Glenn Powell, I'm like, oh man. And I'm just thinking how cool it would have been if he could have voiced Fox in the new game. But, you know, that would have probably thrown the budget way too high.
Yeah,
I'm sure. He's a cool guy. He's worth a lot of money.
I feel like Mario Galaxy was a much better video game movie than the first game was. Like the first movie was. The first movie, it's an absolutely fun time, but it feels more like an Illuminations movie than it does like a Nintendo movie.
Right.
And I thought the opposite of the second movie.
Hmm.
Like yeah, it felt much more like this is a Nintendo movie, and especially the lack of like random licensed songs shoehorned in for no reason.
Though I do adore the fact that they started off the first Super Mario Brothers movie with a callback to the TV show from the 80s.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was just like their TV commercial. I'm like, I know this song. I cannot believe I still remember the song, but oh man.
Okay.
Yeah, both fun movies.
I can tell where they changed the words.
Yeah. Both fun movies. I liked the second movie a lot better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is Fire Miner saying?
Looking forward to when I can actually rent it over here.
Mm. There were far better rail shooting flight simulator games that existed before Star Fox, not just it was an impressive tech demo for SNES, but it was also baby's first flight simulator for many people. Is the remake technologically impressive enough, and has it done enough to get kids into the franchise?
Thing I would say is I take issue with the description. It's not really a flight simulator. It's a rail shooter that just happens to be in it.
Yeah.
I take issue with that mostly because when I think of flight sims, I'm thinking of like weapons over the Luftwaffe, or like I'm just thinking of LucasArts games now, like X-Wing. Like X-Wing would be the thing you would think of if you were thinking of space flight sim, and it really doesn't play like that. It doesn't even play like something like Colony Wars.
Colony Wars brings me back.
Yeah, it sure does. That was a franchise that existed for one console generation and immediately vanished. And it's also just bustingly hard, baffling. I think like ultimately being technologically impressive is probably not what gets kids these days. Like it's
kids like Roblox. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's table stakes when you're selling like a big AAA console game that like it has to look pretty, but that's not what's drawing the kids in. It's just that like Fox, the same thing that always kind of made Star appealing. Character designs are fun. The game is very simple to pick up and play. It's very easy to hand a child Star Fox, and they can at least get through a few levels, even if they've never touched a video game before.
Mm.
Yep. Actually, this one also has an easy difficulty, so...
Yeah.
It does, but even the difficulty modulation is down to...
Yeah.
Well, the point I'm making is the difficulty modulation is down to how the game is designed with Star Fox 64 and consequently the Switch 2 game. Like, if you don't play super well, you're not going to be on the hard levels. The game won't let you. Like, you have to have, for example... Like, as a child, I was terrible at the game, so I never was smart enough to think that, I need to keep Falco in the sky, so I never got to the hard route first level. And, that's how the game modulates difficulty, even if you don't touch the difficulty. Like, assume a child playing can't read just buttons until they get to a game.
So, was beating the solar level that I just beat and was really hard, did that lock me into a much harder difficulty? Well, is that level makes freaking
hard? Solar is in the middle route, I think.
Okay.
I think solar is in the middle route.
Even if you unlock a potentially harder level, you can still choose the level you would have gotten otherwise.
Yes, you can choose the easy level.
Right.
But yeah, like the game has two endings based on which part of Venom that you arrive at. There are three routes. There is an easy route, a normal route, and a medium route, and a hard route. The medium route is basically like secondary route that exists if you're doing really well at easy or poorly at hard. But yeah, like but yeah, ultimately I think that like the game looks pretty because it's a modern video game, but like that's not what's going to ultimately engender it to children or not. It's the fact that Star Fox is a fun design and the characters there. And it's just a very simple to pick up and play, but very easy. Like, the other reason I wouldn't really describe it as flight sim is just flying's not complicated. It's the most complicated maneuver is a U-turn. And that, and a U-turn is handled by pressing a button.
Right.
So yeah. It's, like, the all range modes, like the most complicated Star Fox game is the one they didn't actually release until 2020. Like, Star Fox 2 is the one that is the hardest to get to grips with because it's also a strategy game. But, like, you know, Star Fox 1, Star Fox 64, very, very simple to pick up and play game.
What's the one on DS again?
What's the... Command.
Command, yeah. That's a weird game.
Which is... Yeah, it's weird. It has a lot of Star Fox 2 in it, but it's less interesting overall in terms of how it functions. But yeah, I would say that like this game will sink or swim by how much people end up charmed by the characters, and so the aesthetic is ultimately what will carry.
Okay.
Awesome.
In conclusion, make a Star Fox. The weirdest genre they've given him.
Star Fox Saga. Can someone else grab any more questions from Fire Miner?
Yeah, I've also been playing Mina the Hollower some more, and I think we've talked about it before. So, before we started recording, I was explaining how through a glitch with the Steam cloud saves and Steam, there's some kind of outage with Steam, so when I tried to play Mina, it was like, oh, we're gonna use local data instead. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. But then I guess, yeah, the next time I logged into Steam, it downloaded the old cloud save data and overwrote the local data, and I lost 2 hours of progress. So I'm trying to make up for that now before tomorrow night's stream. But of course, Mina is not a JRPG, so I'm going to have to switch to something else for July, and then maybe I'll go back to it in August. So still trying to decide what I want to stream for JRPG July, and I don't know. You might remember a long time ago I was talking about Kingdom Hearts and how I got the first two games. I got that HD collection on PS4, and I only played about 20 minutes of it. I'm like... Could I just start over and just try to see how far I can get in those games? We'll see. Also thinking maybe Star Ocean Divine Force, which I heard wasn't great, but I have it.
It's a neat game. It's not very good, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And it's like, well, gee, I don't have to commit to one game for the entire month either. It's just a matter of telling Hairfrog to make me a new thumbnail if I switch games. And then they don't like to have overlap. You know, you don't want to have two people streaming the same game. And then there's a cooldown. Yeah, I know. So I'm not going to have an issue with that specific game now. So just still thinking about it. So I have no idea what I'll be streaming on Thursday for my RP Gamer stream. But
tune in for the mystery.
Yeah. And beyond that, I am once again trying to get through FF7 Rebirth. And I did get to the part where you get the green chocobos, and I beat the lady in the red dress and her little mech thing. That was a weird boss fight. I don't know why I had a hard time with it. So slowly making my way through that game, hopefully finishing before the next one comes out next year. And also very excited about Persona 4. Revival. Another game I've been playing, I'll mention briefly, I've talked about it before, I am playing Venus Vacation Prism, which is a Dead or Alive Extreme game. Only came out in Japan. I did get a copy with English subtitles, and I like it. Like, it's not... Like, it's pretty tame. It really is. It's a dating simulator, and...
I vaguely remember the title, and, like, I don't know why.
Yeah. So compared to, like, Dead or Alive Extreme 3, Fortune, Scarlet, there was three different versions of that game. This is actually not as raunchy as that, and this is... There's no... mini games. It just focuses on just being like a dating simulator and like a visual novel, and so you really have an opportunity to talk to the girls, get to know them, and there's a more of a focus on just photography and just trying to say the right thing. It plays more like Persona 5, because like they'll text you and you pick responses, and when you're talking, like, either like you may say something that they like and then that increases your bond, or you could say something they don't like. So it'll tell you you're taking pictures, and it'll say, okay, we want a picture of this particular girl and we want her to be smiling. And it's like, well, gee, she's not going to smile if you're being a creepy weirdo, right? And then if you pick the creepy answers, then you lose points and she doesn't like you as much. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's good. That reinforces good behavior. And the previous game, you were so focused on making money to buy them new outfits. In this game, as you're taking pictures in different situations, it goes up on some kind of in-game social media site, and then each of the girls will get new fans, yeah. And as she gets new fans, that's how you unlock new hairstyles and outfits automatically. So I think it's structured well, and yeah. I like it for what it is, you know? And the other game I wanted to talk about briefly is Replaced, which is kind of this, it's this cool, like, pixel graphics. It's got, like, these, like, 16-bit, like, or 32-bit pixel graphics, but it's like, cyberpunk, but also, like, post-apocalypse. So it kind of reminds me of Blade Runner a little bit, but then I'm in the countryside fighting, like, raiders and stuff. So it's a 2D side-scroller. It, like I said, with like some kind of like a pixel aesthetic. But what's cool is that like the camera is further back, so you see more of the foreground, which I thought was neat. Even if you are just going left and right, there's still these kind of nice 3D backgrounds. And the combat is like the Batman Arkham games, but in 2D, and it actually works pretty well. So you have parrying, but you have plenty of time to hit the button because a symbol appears above the enemy's head when they're about to swing at you. As long as you hit the button, it's just like in Batman, and you just counter it. So right at the start of the game, a guy's consciousness gets fused with a robot, and then they're trying to get to a place where they can separate. But you've got this, you know, horrible government with hovercrafts like trying to blow you away, and it's pretty wild. So I thought that was worth mentioning. So that's what I've been playing.
Sweet.
So, Wheels, have you been playing anything, or have you just... No, you were on vacation.
I was on vacation. Yeah. I was playing the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which is fun as hell.
Good.
Don't usually like roller coasters, but it's... You can't really see what's going on. It's like riding through space, listening to a selection of random 80s music. We got Flock of Seagulls when we wrote it. It's a good time. yeah, I've been playing... Yeah. I picked up Star Fox while I was on vacation. I've been playing that mostly when I had time to play anything. Along with some Final Fantasy VII Rebirth as well on Switch 2, where it runs fantastically.
I've heard good things about that port, yes.
It's great.
From you guys mostly, but... Yeah. But no, I'm glad that Nintendo has a console that can just run things and it's selling. And, yes. You know, just So Switch never struggled to get third-party support, but a lot of games were basically, oh, there's no way this could run on there, and I'm glad that that's not happening as much anymore. Although some companies are still trying to say, oh no, I can't run anything. It's like, sure it can. Yeah, so it's good to know that Switch 2 can hang with the more powerful consoles, and it's significantly cheaper because Xbox is going up in price again.
Yay.
So I want to say the Series X with disk drive and 1 terabyte hard drive is going to be $800 going forward.
I saw there's some class action lawsuits against the RAM makers now.
Good.
There's like two minds on that, because like, on the one hand, like, yes, they are probably like using this, but at the same time, if they make a whole bunch, if they make too much RAM and then data center bubble bursts, suddenly they have a whole bunch of RAM that is like not going to sell because there's no one that needs that much RAM unless they put it at like crazy cheap prices, which them. So I get why they're reluctant to suddenly make a bunch of like a like huge increase in like the amount that they're going to make when it's not clear if this market is going to continue to exist.
Right.
Here we are. This is the shitty position we're in. Also, other part of the next thing that hadn't been mentioned. Not only is the price going up, they have also just killed the 2 terabyte model because SSD prices are also expensive.
Yeah, so I had made a comment. It came up in the general chat on Discord and RP Gamer, and I had said how, gee, you know, I wanted to upgrade my computer. Like, I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I'm waiting for prices to go down. And instead, they're going up. And it's like RAM used to be an afterthought. It used to be, okay, I need the new motherboard so that I can use this new processor. And, oh, look at this graphics card. Look at this power supply. Look at this SSD. And then it was, oh wait, I need RAM. And, like, gee, let me... Let me go ahead and just add this RAM to the cart without even looking at the price. It'll be fine. You know?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of something from biology class where it's amazing what things can turn into bottlenecks for a biological process as soon as something needs it more than you expect. So, yeah.
Computers are the same way.
The example given was in response to sulfur suddenly becoming a bottleneck when it's like one of the most common parts of most biological waste products. But okay. Anyway, I'm running short on time here, so I might as well just start talking.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay, well, yeah, mostly I've just been messing around with all sorts of random demos and stuff on Steam just because, you know, hey, Steam Deck.
Okay.
Taking advantage of it.
And Steam sale.
Yeah. Oh, I've been staying away from, trying to stay away from that because my bank account is... I need to... I'm still saving up to afford some more book covers because I'm trying to just put out as much stuff as possible. Speaking of which, in 9 days, next book coming out. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, this is the one that's partly being published out of spite. So, and I'm not sure if we have enough time today for that particular story, but
But tell them what they can order.
Okay, well, might as well get this over first. So, under the pen name Michael Spearwater, we have Monsters Among Us, Teenage Wasteland, which every book in the series is going to be named after a song lyric, not the title, because that might actually get me in more trouble.
Yes, the Who song that contains the Teenage Wasteland line is actually called Baba O'Reilly.
Yes,
and I was listening to the radio.
And
one
I would have included more references. I would have included more references to the song in the book itself, except that the song is like 5 lines total.
Yeah, it's hard to reference it without just reproducing it in its entirety and getting yourself in trouble.
So I did listen to the radio one day, and two or three different people incorrectly guessed Teenage Wasteland and did not win the tickets to whatever concert it was. Yeah. Yep.
Wait, it was the Who concert?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even... I don't even know what I didn't even know who they were talking about.
Yeah, so... But yeah, it's just... It's... it was a creature feature concept I came up with. I think originally started out as a video game concept about... Mm-hmm. Like, two kids just trying to find all these things that were hidden in plain sight and attempting to get rid of the monsters without accidentally getting themselves arrested for vandalism. And that's how it started out. It ended up as something quite a bit different by the end, after several years of just not doing anything with it and then deciding to write it one NaNoWriMo. But yeah, so it's coming out in 9 days. I have a couple of sequels I need to actually get back to editing properly. So, that's part and parcel with the way 2024 went for me and the reason why this one is getting published out of spite. So assuming I have enough time just to start talking and not stopping in the next 10 minutes, I will tell you the story later. Again, I keep promising this and I never have the time to do it. But yeah, other than that, right now I've been replaying Little Witch in the Woods just because one of our former RP gamer friends picked it up and was playing it and was like, she has a trophy that I don't have. I don't know how she got it because it's one of the secret trophies. I'm going to have to restart this game to figure out what happened. And turns out I needed to talk to this one NPC like 4 times on the train at the very start. That was all. I'm having fun just replaying it because it's a cute little game. So, going a lot faster now that it's not on a like crotchety old laptop that is constantly overheating. My apologies, laptop. You're doing a very good job with the chat. Okay, and but yeah, no, this ye old laptop, which is somehow still alive. So I've just been basically still continuing through my backlog. I've got a couple more of those full steam ahead updates to put up on RP Gamer sometime soon. And also been doing the Pride feature for the site this month, just because I've been meaning to try something for a couple years and never got around to it, and it's like, okay, this is my year of getting stuff done. And said do it. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. But yes, I do need to get ready to get back to for my one class this afternoon.
Yeah.
Hey, at least the rain has stopped for now. It rained for a solid 100 hours straight last week over here.
Oh wow. No.
Oh, yes. I mean, when I say solid, okay, occasionally there were several 1 or 2 hour stretches where it was simply sprinkling, and then other 1 or 2 hour stretches where it more than made up for that. And oh, my head when it stopped. Anyway, it's been nice listening in, but I do need to get going, unfortunately. So I really don't know if I'll be able to make it in the between window for next week because today's schedule is a little different due to tests in one half of the school and not the other half of the school where I have the class.
That's
fine. So. But yeah, I will hopefully be back next week for at least a few minutes to again plug the new book and maybe tell you more about why it's... So, okay. Anyway. So go talk about Destiny or something now that I'm leaving. Bye-bye.
Okay. Wheels is too tired.
What's going on?
If Wheels is too tired for Destiny talk, then he needs to go to bed.
I don't want to talk about it. It's just all depressed. They just laid off the whole team. Like, fuck Sony.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me put that in a nicer fashion.
Fuck Sony!
That's all.
Okay.
Can someone Fire Miner message?
Dave, what have you been playing? Or do you want to answer Fire Miner
questions? I'm not interested. Like, I'll talk about Tenshi No Uta next week. We should answer some questions and then go to bed.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Catch you guys later.
Later.
Bye. See you, Gaijin.
I think I've heard some rumors that the Chinese are not just looking into making cheaper DDR5 RAM, but DDR5. Also making motherboard chips that support newish CPU but use the cheaper DDR3. Oh god, don't you enter new messages, girl. The cheaper DDR3 and DDR4 RAM. It sounds too good to be true, but who knows?
I mean, like, I think also a lot of things would, like, I don't usually have to worry about the quality of RAM, but I do think that there actually probably end up being situations where, like, yes, that RAM is cheaper because it's not really in demand, but, like, game tend to like their fat RAM. So I'm not sure. Like, you know, like, the thing that ultimately is happening, like, this is ultimately just sort of accelerating the curve of something we've already seen happening, which is we just gotta cool it on, like making games more expensive, more complex. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's Grand Theft Auto 6 is the last video game. There will be none more expensive. There will be none more complex.
Yeah, I mean, like, a game like that can spend, like, obscene amounts of money making a complex game. Everything else, like, it's not working out.
Will it dial it back? It's like you have hit the ceiling of people that can play and understand AAA 3D game.
Yeah.
You need to, and like, again, we're going to pull a piece of information that became public due to a hack, but which is very useful, which is Insomniac talking about Spider-Man 2, pointing out that it was like four times as expensive as Spider-Man on PS4. And like their internal notes, did anyone notice?
I mean, no.
No, they didn't. No,
I certainly didn't.
Like, you can put you can put the Spider-Man PS4 game and the remaster side by side with each other, and I will be able to tell you one of them looks different. I won't be able to tell you which.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it looked a little better, but I mean, for the most part, it's like, no.
They turned Peter into homunculus Tom Holland.
Did not like
the feelings on Brand New Day.
The new movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it came out already?
No,
it's not out. I'm just saying, like, taking the temperature on how Wheels is feeling about him.
Unclear, because I don't actually know who the main villain is.
Yeah, it's weird that they haven't like tried to at least give like more concrete hints on that.
Like some person.
Seems people guessing some far out shit like Mr. Negative.
I could see that maybe, but like it seems like someone jumping from like body to body. I've seen some people theorizing Jean Grey, which I don't think it's that.
That would be fucking stupid.
Yeah, so I honestly don't know.
Okay.
It looks good. But that's about all I can say. Did in the Brand New Day storyline in the comics, did he get internal webs? Was it that part of that, or is that?
No, he got those way back in the like reborn from a giant spider thing back in the mid-2000s.
Okay,
because that's what they did to follow on. Because like they did that because he had the internal webbing in the first, like the first Raimi movie. They were like, well, the comic has to match. Sort of like that time that they like decided there needed to be a Nick Fury that looked like Samuel L. Jackson and had the most convoluted, insane storyline to make it happen.
So, yeah, I think that seems kind of weird, but also, like, they had a bunch of Spider-Mans together in the previous movie, so It's not like
a it's a hard move to follow on from.
And it makes sense since they're kind of doing like the mutation storyline.
Six-armed Tom Holland.
I hope we don't get six-armed Tom Holland.
That would be so fun. I would lose my mind.
Are we going to get like MCU Ben Reilly next? Please, no.
Do it. Do the Clone Saga. Completely ruin everything.
No. God, no.
Do it. I would also accept a three-movie series that's just adapting the nothing storyline of Maximum Carnage.
I mean, if they did a Ben Reilly, I want him to be like the current Ben Reilly, who's just like a complete dick.
Give him something, because otherwise Ben Reilly just doesn't have anything.
Who just like turned his friend into essentially a new supervillain while he was in space recently. Not intentionally, just because
Marvel does that.
Yeah.
He's just because he's a stupid asshole.
Spider-Man in space!
Yeah, let's set another question.
Well, and real quick, the official U.S. Consumer Protection Agency, they were like, a villain you can't see is a carbon monoxide? Please tell me it's carbon monoxide. It's like, oh, come on.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And then they're like, make sure you have your carbon monoxide detector, you know?
So. Yep, the most benign thing the U.S. government has said in the past year.
Thank you for the bits, Fireminer.
Yeah, that usually means he's trying to draw our attention to at least one question, so check back.
Joe, you're going to have to go on to Twitch and read these questions. I just do not have the brain capacity right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, and I'm on a phone.
All right, Aaron, let me pause Mina. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Wow.
Oh, 1 o'clock right, you.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense. Go to sleep.
1 o'clock. You'll clock me. Okay, let me see here. Oh, there's a lot of them. I don't know. Oh, okay. Good news is my Twitch app on my phone is going all the way back to the start of the stream, which is good. Okay, we already covered the Star Fox SNES question. Netflix is making a live-action Persona series. Oh, cool.
Moving on.
But some of their shows are going live-action One Piece.
Okay, yes, but I need you to understand that, one, I have seen clips from the live-action Yu Yu Hakusho no one watched, and two, Persona is just not suited to that. Bad idea.
It sounds like a really stupid idea. Like, that why isn't... Just make it an anime. Why? Why does that have to be live-action?
Why?
gotta sell it to 50-year-olds. Watch, it's just scrolling through Netflix. I don't know what that is. Whatever.
Remember that live-action Death Note, but they did get Willem Dafoe to play Ryuk, and that was
Willem Dafoe.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
potential in that, but it was terrible.
Did we answer the question about the Steam and the Steam Machine being expensive? Did I miss that?
We have not talked about that.
Okay. Because we answered the question about the Chinese DDR5 RAM. Okay. All right. When the Steam Machine was first announced, I asked how big of a loss leader was Steam willing to take. Now we know its price. It's over $1,000 for the base model with no controller. Yep. Makes me question how important is the Steam Machine to Steam. Sony has to maintain their walled garden while Microsoft failed to pivot away from console. But save for people who use GOG exclusively, everyone who play games on PC has already had a Steam account. Does Steam believe that the Steam Machine specs and price bracket can really stimulate Steam sales?
Care.
Do they need to stimulate Steam sales? Like, is this a,
it's a like, problem?
I know.
Yeah. I don't think Fireminer is even positing this problem. I think he's just trying to get our temperature on what we think this thing is.
Yeah.
And I would say this is mostly like Valve is dipping its toes into this concept. But one, yeah, they weren't willing to go for loss leader. Makes sense. They've been very clear on that. But the other thing is, and I bring this up every so often because like the hardcore crowd loves their Steam Decks. As
a going hardware concern. As a direct market, as a direct sale object, the Steam Deck is a tremendous success. Compared to literally any of its contemporaries, if it had sold this number and they had, like, it was not, like, being sold in the niche way that it was, it would be considered an appalling failure.
Mm. Right.
It's at, like, 4 to 5 million. It's comfortably sub Vita.
It sold less than the, like, Wii U, folks.
It, like, it sold, like, a third the number of units the Wii U. Like, this is not a high-volume business. Like, and it never has been. Like, and Valve has clearly never intended for it. They don't care. Right. I would suspect that this initial allocation of units is somewhere in the low to mid five figure. That.
Yeah.
So it's a small number. For a boutique.
If they have some accurate estimate for what they're going to sell and they manufacture the number of units according to that, right? It's obviously, if they manufacture 10 million units and only sell 2 million, that's awful. But if they manufacture the exact number to meet demand, then they're good, right?
Yeah, so that's part of why they do these the way that they do. But yeah, like, it's one of those things, like, in the universe where none of this price shit happened, where it did, where it came out and it was $750, which seems to have been their initial target price, which people would have, like, been a little, they wouldn't have, like, completely balked at.
I would have been willing to pay $700, I think.
Yeah, so, like, imagining the world where that had been the number that they got, I think that, like, a really good run of the Steam machine where it just continues to be sold for the next 5 years, it might have done somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 million. I think that would have been considered a smashing success.
Yeah.
Like, this is not meant to be a high volume object. And ultimately, like, success or failure is largely meaningless to Valve. Mostly what it does is it stabilizes, like, a set of spec for them. Like, this is, like, the Steam Machine is the base spec that you shoot for, and it maintains that even as they move, even as we see consoles, like, technically moving into, like, oh, the PlayStation 6 is going to come out and be, like, $1,500 next year or whatever. But, like, the, like, this whole thing, like, that is, like, most of what the Steam Machine does is it locks their hardest core fans further into the ecosystem. I think that the biggest hurdle the Steam Machine actually has is that, like, its value proposition is extremely strong. Like, the Steam Deck, theoretically, what that did was it took your games and gave them an entirely different form factor. You could now just take your Steam games, and maybe some of them don't work, but, like, a bunch of them will work, and you can just play them on handheld and carry that around. It's more convenient. So now you've got that.
Sorry, not to interrupt you, but I want to say my Steam Deck can now play something like 350 or 400 games. I have, like, over 500 games on Steam. So I want to say maybe 75 or 80% of my games are now playable. So, yes, huge advancements with Proton and whatnot, which is great. So
don't worry about it. But more broadly, the point I'm getting at is that, like, Steam Deck represented a more identifiable value proposition. The Steam Machine is in kind of a weird situation because it was always a direct sale object. You could only buy it through Steam, which makes it kind of, like, it, like, the kind of person who's going to buy it is already deep in their ecosystem. But that means that, like, the actual thing, that means that the value proposition is much hazier. Like, theoretically, it's supposed to be your secondary computer. And I'm going to be real with you. You have to be a real sicko pervert. You need a second computer to run on your, like, fucking, like, if you want to run computer games on your TV, don't have a better way to just run an HDMI cable to your TV, and you want second computer for that. That's some sicko shit.
Right. I was going to say that the specs on the Steam Machine, they're overkill for indie games and emulation, but not where I would want them to be for AAA. And I can tell you, I was thinking about possibly selling my Steam Deck to put towards Steam Machine before they revealed the price, of course. But I bought a $30 dock for the Steam Deck. I plug it into an old 1080p 60Hz TV, and it's fine. I can play Sonic Mania, Shovel Knight, Mina, whatever the hell I want, like all those old games. I just can't really... I don't do a lot of AAA stuff on there anyways, and I have all my emulators, all my ROMs, I have Retro Achievements, I have RetroArch. It's great for that purpose. So I'm like, great, I'm set. I don't need a Steam Machine now. Not for that price.
Yeah, I think... So. But yeah, like my thought process here is mostly that the Steam Machine price puts it in an unclear, like, or not just its price, like, you know, $1,000, like, even at $700, it was never going to be, like, obvious slam dunk. But, you know, especially at $1,000, it's like, why? Like, $1,000 for... Is it to sell a secondary computer entirely to an enthusiast market? It's just a very... It's a much more confusing problem. And I'm sure that they never intended to sell a huge ton of these. But, like, it is... What's going on?
What is happening?
Is Wheel snoring?
I don't know. I'm not watching the stream.
Wheels might be snoring.
Yeah, and we're talking about something that's also around the same power level as a PS5 or Series X, which are still cheaper despite the price increases. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the... If you look at the actual, like... If you look at, like, you know, places like Digital Foundry have done their, like, reviews, and basically anyone who's not incredibly enamored of having Cube is mostly just like, yeah, that's, you know, this is on paper more powerful than a PS5 or Series X, like, because of various circumstances surrounding it, it's not going to run as well as either. And so you just end up with, like, this is... Again, it's just a confused product. And, like, you know, if it was going to compete with, like, PS5 and Series X, like, it would need to sell some other way than you have to order it direct from Valve. Like, that idea would never... That is the only way it would ever make any cut. But, like, this can only sell to people who already use Steam. It's a strange object that is, like, I don't think that Valve thought super hard about what the use case for it was.
No.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. Do you know, if you wanted to wake it up remotely the same way you would on a regular game console, do you need the Steam controller, or can you use a DualSense or...
I would presume you can use some other controller. Like, it would be deranged not to.
Right. I hate that new Steam controller design. It looks awful. I don't want
the old one. The old one was a little
bit
too. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, when I look at the new one, I think of just, like, I've met people that really like the Steam Deck layout, and I do not understand them. It's the cheapest, shittiest feeling one of the modern controllers. And, like, the layout itself is no great shape. Like, no other controller I've ever owned from a remotely, like, legitimate feeling company has ever had, like, as many issues with, button keeps getting caught under the fascia of the controller. Bad. But, yeah. Okay, let's answer one more question. But those wheels...
Yeah, okay.
I'm falling asleep.
Let me see what else we got.
Make it count. Only one more.
I think we did kind of answer that question. I think we've done a deep dive into Steam Machine at this point, and so anyone interested knows everything they need to know about it at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I don't know what processor it has, but I know the GPU is like the equivalent to like an RX 7600. It's like, and it might have been
to parse,
like,
if any of these fucking GPU names have made any goddamn sense.
Right, they don't. I don't know about, let me see here. Oh, okay, you know what? I think this is, a new one just popped up at the bottom, and I'm having trouble scrolling on my goddamn phone, so
yeah,
I'm gonna go with
the bottom one.
Yeah, so you've talked many times about how Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry represented two different approach to action games, but the mob enemies in both franchises represent a challenge, even if the challenge is to not drop a combo. Are the mob enemies in action JRPG too easy? Case in point, Kingdom Hearts 1, they bumped up the difficulty in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I think this is a Dave question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm going to say is that the mob enemy, like, RPG enemies, especially of the variety that, at least as far as, like, you know, over the past 10 years, we've seen an increase in, like, RPG encounters that are designed to be digested one by one. But when you look at older, like, Kingdom Hearts and a lot of mobs in action RPGs, they're hearkening back to an older idea of how RPG encounters were built, where, like, the individual encounters might be dangerous. A lot of times, they're kind of only dangerous if you're already hurt. Kingdom Hearts, like, there are kind, and like a lot of action RPGs, there are two competing incentives. You have different kinds of enemies that force you to do slightly different things to prioritize them. So, like, in Kingdom Hearts, you've got, like, the big bodies, the big big round things that are invincible from the front, that kind of thing. And you'll have, like, normal Heartless that do normal things, or, like, wizards that, like, spells at you as agitators. But all of these exist to force you to play a little differently. The other thing is just that, like, they chip away at resources. Over and over, they chip away at resources. That's the magic thing with, like, older RPGs where encounters are not designed to, like, reset you to max at the end, like, as has become relatively popular over the past 10 years. The encounters chip away at your resources. And that's true of a lot of action RPGs. That is the entire build, say, a From Software thing. As you fight, they chip away at your resources. Your resources are restored when you get to the next, like, save point. Like, delve further, run out, like, slowly run out of resources. Like, that's what the mobs do. With Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry, is a resource economy, but it's very limited. Like, in as far as the games are concerned, every encounter should be played without having to spend a... It should be playable without having to spend. And that's true of action RPGs that are well-designed as well. But they're much less punitive about spending. Devil May Cry dips your rank just for having used items.
Right.
Like, items are a very rare, expensive luxury. Whereas, like, in a Kingdom Hearts, in a Dark Souls, they're pretty farmable. They're pretty cheap. Relatively speaking, these are not high-value items. Dark Souls, for, like, Bloodborne, you have to farm items, but, like, vials are not expensive. Estus flasks always come. Like, these are low-value items. Use them as you need. Whereas, like, and that is one of the natures of how that economy functions. Whereas, like, again, Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, they'll give you those items. They very much, like, and you can use them. They very much are, like, better know you're going to use this. Better know that what you want, because it's not coming back. Yeah. So, and I find that shows up a lot in a whole bunch of different RPGs. But, like, the additional resources that are theoretically limited are much more abundantly restored. Yep. I think that's probably about it for.
Okay.
Where can we find you, Joe? I know that you've already mentioned, but say it again. Once
we meet again, right? I'll go over it again. So yes, I do live streams two nights a week for RP Gamer right here on the RP Gamer Twitch channel. So usually starting around 10 p.m. going until around 12 a.m. Eastern time. Sometimes I start late, but I like to do 2 hours regardless of the start time. And nobody streams after me, so it's not a big deal. And yeah, so I've been streaming Mina the Hollower, and as I was saying, I did lose some progress in the game, which I'm trying to make up for right now, and I'm dying constantly, and I'm trying to multitask, and I'm not doing so hot. But yeah, I'm going to be streaming that again tomorrow night, which will be Tuesday, June 30th. And then we start JRPG July, so I think there's at least one new person who's going to be streaming, and I think we're all going to be doing JRPGs. So obviously Mina doesn't count, and I was speculating before on what I might play. I haven't decided, but I have some ideas, and I can always switch if I want to. So yeah, please tune in for JRPG July on my channel and everybody else. So, you know, if you follow the RP Gamer channel, turn on your notifications, whatever. You got Scar, you've got Tam, you've got Hairfrog, you got Leo Grim, got some awesome people doing streams all the time, all kinds of games. And then I do still have a YouTube channel under Smokin' Joe Gamer. Got a bunch of videos there. I haven't done anything new since Metroidvania, but I did do a video for, what was it called? Clockwork Ambrosia, which is a Metroidvania, The Last Faith. So you can check out those videos. I've always got ideas for content, but it's always a matter of just sitting down and doing it. And lately I've been working on more music related stuff. So maybe I'll post some songs or, whatever, drum beats, guitar playing videos, who knows? So all sorts of things on my YouTube channel, if you want to check that out under Smokin' Joe Gamer. And you can join the RP Gamer Discord server if you want. Just follow the rules, you know, don't be weird, or don't be the good kind of weird, you know, you can be nerdy. So you can, yeah, you can join that RP Gamer Discord server and chat with people on there. And that's one of the places where you can ask questions. If you join the server, you go to the, I think it's the podcast tab. You can post questions there. You can also ask us questions live if you watch each episode on Twitch on Monday nights, usually starting around 11 p.m. or 12 a.m. And we usually go for about 90 minutes to 2 hours thereabouts. So you can do that. And Gaijin already plugged his stuff, so that's good. And then also past, I think it's worth mentioning, past episodes of Q&A Quest are on the Ask Wheels YouTube channel. So you can check out his YouTube channel as well. And, you know, however many episodes we're up to now, 430 something, I think. So
either 430 or 340.
Or 300. I don't remember.
I can, if you join the RPM or Discord, you can also podcast section. We're always happy that. You can also send, like dear friend Fireminer did, by going to twitch.tv/askwheels or twitch.tv/rpgamer during the time when we stream, which is usually around 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific on Mondays, or slash, you know, 11 to 12 p.m. Eastern, and running until Wheels is too sleepy to survive. We also have our sister show Shenanigans. We were out on that the past couple weeks. We might return this Sunday.
We've been doing also Overwatch, although I've been pushing for another Street Fighter 6 stream because of all the new characters since the last time we played, but we'll see.
And then you can also ask questions by going to the comment section on RP Gamer under these last few episodes. I don't believe there have been any of these past few weeks, but always happy when we see that. Yeah. Otherwise, I think that wraps it up for us. So see you, Space Cowboys.
See ya.
See ya.
This is Mo Man in the morning. Good Mo Man to you.
Where is soundboard?
Mo Man. We forgot how to do soundboard. Oh, God.
No, not that. No.
What fun? What fun?
This is Mo Man in the morning. Good Mo Man to you.
We did it.
Hooray. It stinks.
Okay, I'm
my
I'm going directly to bed. Good night.
Okay, see ya.